The old number he wore in San Diego. He drives one into deep right field, right down the line in the corner. Three-run home run. Welcome to the Dodgers. And it's 4-1 Dodgers.
Wow. Wow. Mr. Victor Corona, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great.
My name is Moises Linares. Welcome to In the Sports Booth. Another great Sunday. But this Sunday is a little bit more special because so many things have been going on Major League Baseball. Where do we start? You heard that? Did you hear the name on that? On that home run?
Wow, it sounds so good. I mean, to have a Mexican-American ball player playing for the Dodgers... Ah, man, it feels good.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I think it's been too long for the Dodgers. Who was the last Mexican player?
Well, the last big superstar, of course, was Fernando Valenzuela. He's the one that turned it around. Yeah, the biggest.
Right.
I mean, when you take a look at before he got there, it was about 4% of Latinos that went to Dodger Stadium. To after, it went up to like 40%+. So... I mean, it tells you the impact that he had.
In case you're at home or you're watching us on the internet, did you know about that? We're on Ustream.tv now. So if you want to see the ugly faces on these monsters in here, these sports monsters, you could go online and watch us. But in case you have missed it, the Dodgers have been the center of attention for quite some weeks. We've been talking about the Dodgers for about 4 weeks now. And Hanley Ramirez was the man. And now he's simply part of a team that keeps getting better, keeps improving. And they've acquired 4 players that are going to make a big difference in a short-term future and long-term.
Right. And, I mean, you know, it came as a surprise because I just didn't think Adrian Gonzalez was going to clear waivers, especially, you know, with his kind of talent. And then you add Beckett and Crawford and Punto. I mean, you know, the way that the deal came about, it was like it came out of nowhere, to be honest with you. So this is a big, big deal.
Adrian Gonzalez, Matt Kemp, and Andre Ethier, Hanley Ramirez. Wow.
I mean, the middle of the lineup, I mean, you know, yeah, it would have been great to see Crawford there already. But, I mean, just to look at it, I mean, you go Kemp 3, Gonzalez 4, then you got in the 5th place, you got...
This is a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, they took back about $270 million, you know. And, I mean, the only thing that the Red Sox kicked back was $15 million that they sent back to the Dodgers. And then, you know, the prospects. I mean, I really didn't have a problem with the whole money thing. Of course, it's not my money. But, you know, the biggest thing was the prospects. I just didn't... If you're going to take that much, money back, I just didn't think you needed to give them all those prospects.
They had to sacrifice. And this is a statement, like we've said countless times in this show. We are going to compete for a World Series. And it seems to be real. This is getting real.
Well, you know, if we go back to around late April when the new management took over for Magic and Steve Kasten and Walter, the new regime, they talked about it. You know, they said that they were going to compete as soon as they could. They were going to put money back into the team. And, you know, this was going to be the Yankees West. And
this is what went through my mind when I heard Adrian Gonzalez is coming to LA. And you know, it was still not confirmed until we saw a Twitter picture that said, hey, they're taking down his picture from Fenway Park. And you know what I said? Wait for it. I have to run to Dodger Stadium now.
Right. And now, I mean, it just becomes, you know...
The Flintstone run.
Right, yeah. And it becomes now, you know, you're competing. I mean, I think part of the fact that this trade was made too, you know, and the moves that have been made with Hanley too, is they're trying to compete with the market that now has the Kings, who just won the Stanley Cup. You got the Lakers, who just picked up Dwight Howard. They got the Big Four out there. And then you got the I think the biggest thing was the Angels. I mean, the fact that the Angels were going out and spending all that money, and you're looking at LA, it was like, okay, now are we the little brother? I thought we were the big brother. So I think, you know, all those things combined, they're trying to compete for those fans. You know, if you look at it this year, even though they've been in first place for off by a couple of games, they haven't drawn as well. You know, they're still having problems with people not going to the game. I mean, I went on Wednesday to see the Giant Dodger game, and it was about, you know, 30% empty there. So I mean, hopefully this helps them out. You know, and another big thing too that we have to keep in mind too, for, you know, people that are worried that the prices are going to go up now, don't be, because I think part of the thing is that they're looking, they got a TV deal coming up in next year.
Big TV deal.
Yeah, a big TV deal. And I mean, if you think the deal that the Lakers got was big, that $5 billion, the Dodgers are going to get a bigger, even bigger one, because they have more games on TV. They have 162 compared to the NBA and the Lakers, who
that's
have about
a lot of
80.
Advertising.
Yes. Yeah. So that's going to be a lot of money. So
Adrian Gonzalez. Yeah. No, I see what you mean. And obviously, you know, that's the first thing people always worry about. Are our prices going to go up? Is this going to change? Yeah. You know, are we going to go see the Lakers now? Because seeing the Lakers in LA is not cheap. It's not easy to get a ticket where you're going to be able to have a good view of the game. Nosebleeds is what usually you'll get for $100. And that's an arm and a leg nowadays. What I was going to tell you was, so the Dodgers, with this big trade, this blockbuster trade, Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, and Nick Punto, and then the guy that I wanted to talk about a little bit, which is Josh Beckett.
Right.
Great pitcher. We haven't seen the best of Josh in quite a minute. His last win, it was in July.
Right, and he's struggled. He's had a big problem
in the last six starts.
He's big. Look, the thing with him is he's big in the playoffs. He led the Marlins, the young Marlins, back in the early 2000s to a World Series, and then he took this Boston team in 2007 to the World Series too. So he's a big game pitcher. The thing is his personality. I mean, he can get on some people, and you know, he can rub people the wrong way. So that's his biggest thing. If he comes in with the right attitude, you know, and then you're playing he was playing in a division where, you know, they're hitting ballparks. Here, he's gonna play in a division where the parks are big. They're suited for a pitcher. So,
and it's a big difference. I agree with you. That's you have your pitcher friendly parks and the other ones that are not. And the difference here is also the media. You have that East Coast media that will swallow you up. You make a mistake and they're going to be right there on your butt 24/7. And he made a few mistakes. There's a difference between being in Florida, great weather. It's like being in California. And we had the same problem with Hanley, right? He wasn't doing the best. You know the guy has more to give. But then you change the scenery a little bit. And this guy all of a sudden reemerges. It's like he was resurrected from the dead, came back, and new guy, unrecognizable.
Yeah,
can't recognize the game.
And
the
another thing that's going to help him, too, is the fact that you're battling for a division title right now. You're going after that division. And with the Red Sox, like you said, over there, it's a religion. I mean, here, it's like, oh, we have things to do. You know, for them, it's like the winter is coming, so it's time to get ready for the Patriots and, you know, some of the other stuff. But here, we got a lot of things going on. So, I mean, I bet you anything, if anybody recognizes him, it'll be a miracle, because, you know, most people, you know, they got their own thing going on here in L.A., so he doesn't have to worry about that. He can just go out and do his job.
Nick, we're going to go into a soundbite. We're going to talk to Nick Coletti and see what he had to say about this trade.
A lot of different things in the last month with this probably capping it off. But it's July and August may have been our free agent season. But it's good to be in the position we're in. It's good to build this franchise in a dynamic way that we've been given the opportunity to do. When they first came here, they talked about being bold and thinking big thoughts and doing big things. And when you think about the players that we've been able to add, it's obvious that that their words were true.
Wow, Ned Coletti is the man. That's my new favorite hero.
Right,
Ned Coletti.
he went from living in the poorhouse to the penthouse. I mean, under McCord, he was like, he couldn't do anything. He had to like trade like these
McWho?
Yeah, right. I mean,
who was that guy? We had some guy doing you know, he was filling in while we found the right guy. You know, unfortunately, I had the privilege. I took it as an honor to be able to interview him when everybody left him. You know, the Dodgers were doing great at the time. They were back in the playoffs. McCord, great guy as a person, but obviously not an owner.
Right.
Not an owner. Not for the Dodgers. Maybe a small team. Go to one of those teams that, you know, don't really care if they win. Now, the Dodgers are saying Yankees who? Angels who? Because for a while, all you could do was watch them and watch from the other side of the fence how these teams were blowing money. It didn't matter. If you wanted a first baseman, you got that first baseman. If that first baseman got injured, you would go get another one. And that's how I kept going. Oh, you know what? You've been here for 2 or 3 years. You're not producing anymore. Okay, we got to let you go. And as easy as that. And Dodger fans have been struggling and suffering for a long time where they would see their best players being traded, being sold, no long-term contracts. And that's changing. And I guess Magic was right when they said they were here to make a statement to win championships. And that's what a championship mentality is going to do to you all the time. Magic's a champion. We both know that. He's a winner and he's here to win.
Yeah, and it's great to see. I mean, you know, we've needed that. And they're trying to make their mark now. You know, it's been a long time since the Dodgers have been to a World Series since 1988. It's been too long. And I mean, you know, it's good to have Magic, especially, you know, running things for them. And so that's you know, something that we should be really happy about, because without that kind of ownership, you know, we'd be going through the same thing again, and we can't have that anymore, you know. And and they put, you know, like he said, I think one of the quotes that Coletti said on there was they came out and said what they were going to do, and they done it, and now
they're doing it,
right?
And they haven't stopped. This is the beginning. You're going to see a lot of guys leave. Unfortunately, you can get attached to these guys. James Loney, great guy. A lot of people like him. He has a big fan base. But you're getting paid so much money and you're not producing for the amount of money you're getting paid, you're going to be let go in. He knows it's business. He said it. You know, you have to be a businessman about it. He had to take the back door. But Boston is not a pushover team. Yeah, they're not doing as great as they would like to be doing. He has the opportunity to bounce back, and he did that. He's producing. Good for him.
Right, and this is going to be an opportunity for him to prove what he's worth now. You know, he's going to get a shot, you know, the last couple of months there with Boston. And so, you know, it sucks, you know, to see somebody like that go. He's a good guy. But at the same time, getting someone like Gonzalez, you know, they don't come around that often. And another thing I wanted to mention before we move on is Coletti bite with that he talked about, where he said, this is our free agency. It is, because they for the last 3 years, they haven't had a free agency for them. And another thing is, usually they do really bad in free agency, so you'd rather go the trade way, you know, for them. So this is a good thing for them.
Agree with you. We gave it a little bit of time because it deserves time. This is going to be talked about for years to come. It's not just this season. It's not the next season. This is going to be, you're going to be hearing about this in a few years to see where it all started. How did it begin? If the team does great or if they don't, you're still going to talk about it because there's a lot of money being spent. Unfortunately, there's always incidents. And last week we talked about this.
Right.
And now we hit another bump on the road. Bartolo Colon suspended for 50 games. And if it wasn't for the trade, we would be talking about this incident, which is a shame. Another guy goes down. Bartolo's 39.
Right.
He's not a kid anymore. He's not young. And he decided to take the easy way out. And it keeps happening. It keeps going on with these players. You know, they keep getting caught, which makes you believe there's a lot of them out there. They're simply fooling the system. And everybody does that. Once you learn how to take the easy way out, you're going to do it. And, you know, I'll tell you a story. I used to be I'm not in school anymore, so I can say it. You were in high school. And if you found a way to cheat, sometimes when you couldn't do something to your best potential and you wanted to exceed that, you would find a way to cheat and you'll do it. And if you didn't get caught, you'll keep doing it because you're like, okay, whatever. I'm not going to get caught. Let me do it. And this is something similar. They're not getting caught. And one of the things that has been talked about a lot is the fact that it's like a Latin connection. These Latin American players are being caught doing that. yet they're not the only ones. So let's not just point fingers at that section because of race. There's been other guys. There's been Ryan. There's been Roger, who they've been, you know, acquitted from these things. But I did hear this thing. Steroids, steroid use, failing the test does just not appear just like that.
Right. Right. And I mean, let me go first. Let me start off with the Dominican. It's been a Dominican problem, and that's what they've been calling it. And I mean, honestly, I honestly don't blame them, because if you really think about it, you know, you're talking about players that are, you know, come from poor neighborhoods. And for them, you know, it's worth the shot. I mean, look, if you're able to get away with it, you know, you're in for able to get about 80 to 100 mil on a contract.
Why
so why right? not? I mean, why what not? Do you have to lose? You know, you go back to your little poor neighborhood, you know, and I think that's why they do it. You know, that's why it's become that kind of a problem.
I agree with that point. That's a very true statement. A lot of these players come from different parts of the world. When you compare an American-born player who's brought up, you know, a lot of these players were not poor. They're not fighting to get out of poverty like some of these Dominican players, like some of these players coming from Venezuela, where they're doing anything to move up the ranks and make it to the big leagues. And you know, the level of education is different, but obviously the poverty level has a lot to do with it, and people don't understand that.
Right, and then the other thing you have to take into consideration too is the fact that, you know, if you really look at it, I mean, baseball is kind of like looking for cheap labor. And so what do? They go to these countries like the Dominican, Puerto Rico, you got Venezuela, Colombia now, and they go and they build these academies. And so, you know, they give them board and everything. I mean, yeah, that's great and everything, but it's less money that they have to pay.
It makes me wonder if they're getting caught and they're saying, yeah, we did it. You know, they're not going to fight it. But how does Ryan Braun get out? You know, how does he get off the hook? So, you know, he fought it. But like I told you before, just a minute ago, steroid or PED use is not suddenly going to appear because somebody shook your pee in the wrong way or the temperature changed. No, it's a substance that's in your body.
Right. And
so
I think,
how does he get off the hook? Roger Clemens, how do you get off the hook? How do you accuse these guys? You know, we might not have these answers. We might not ever know, but it kind of makes you question, okay, you're targeting these players and you're saying, okay, use it. That's it. They admitted it, but these guys don't admit it. They fight it a little bit and off the hook.
I think if we would be naive if we thought that it just doesn't happen in baseball. It happens in every sport. I mean, you're going to find players, they're going to try to do the best they can to get away, you know, with what they can.
You know what? 50 games is not enough. That's what I think.
Yeah, and like we talked about last week when we got into the whole Victor Conte thing, you know, they need to, you know, even in football, you only get four games.
Not enough.
Look, there was two guys, you know, that were prominent guys a couple of years ago that got caught. You had the middle line, the linebacker from Houston. He got busted his rookie year. He still won the rookie of the year. Then you had Sean Merriman when he was with San Diego. And he got busted too, and he won the defensive player of the year. So, I mean, like I said, if you're naive enough to think that it doesn't happen in every sport, you know, yeah, there needs to be better testing, you know, and that's the only way we're gonna be able to, you know, see, you know, watch these sports and say, you know what, these guys are clean. And I mean, like, we even had the whole thing with Skip Bayless and Derek Jeter too. I mean,
true.
You know, he's 38, you know, which is actually a valid question. You have to, I mean, if as a journalist, you know, and he's been great.
He didn't accuse him. He simply, you know, questioned.
Right.
He said, wouldn't you think about it? He didn't say he's using it. He must be using it. He said, you know, it raises the question.
Right.
You're listening to www.skitrollstudios.com. You're listening to Victor Corona and myself, Moises Linares, bringing you the best every week of what's going on in the world of sports. One of the most amazing things is the fact that we've lived in a generation along other generations before us, and we've had the privilege of listening to Vin Scully.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best broadcasters, play-by-play, in the history of radio and sports television, and he will be back for his 64th season next year. He's going to be 84, I believe.
Yeah. And I mean, even with the whole trades and everything, that's the best news Dodgers can hear.
Yes.
I mean, he only does home games now. He does a couple of he only stays in California. He doesn't go, flies out anymore. So just to be able to listen to him is just, it's so great to know that he's coming back again.
I feel bad for the guy who's going to be after Vince. Wow.
It's like the guy that had to replace Chick Hearn after he passed away.
I think there was a few guys who bounced around that position.
Right.
But the guy who, Chick Hearn is a legend.
Right.
But when you talk about Vin Scully, wow.
Right.
You got to stop and think about all the things all the years, you know, he's put in and how much respect he gets around the world.
Right. I mean, look, I was just, like I said, I was at Dodger Stadium on Wednesday and there was some people right in front of me and they were listening to the game. Like they had I forget how you say it, but they had like a little radio there with them and they were listening to Vin as they're watching the game. They're at the game, you know, so.
You have some pretty dumb people. No offense to anybody, but some people simply don't understand, what just happened there?
Right.
What was that play?
Right.
And Vince is a guy who's going to be like, oh, you know, he tells you a story.
Right.
He tells you the play-by-play. He has this way of transitioning from a story to back to the game. It's just like, wait, wait a second. Where did I just go?
Yeah.
Where was I at right now?
Yeah.
Great thing to hear. Great thing to hear.
Yeah.
Before we go into a break, we still got to hit one thing. Another guy, Armstrong.
Right.
Lance. Sad. Seven titles in a row.
Right.
Stripped.
Yeah.
Stripped. And it sucks.
Yeah.
You know, the guy fought cancer. He overcame. And all of a sudden, he said, you know what? I'm going to stop fighting it because it takes a lot of money.
Right.
It's a beating in your pockets. And to know you're not going to win and it's just going to keep pushing. He said, he let it go. And as soon as he did that, all right, we're taking your titles. You're banned from cycling. It sucks. And let's hear a bite we have on that.
Breaking news tonight. Champion cyclist Lance Armstrong had until midnight to contest the career-shattering doping charges brought against him by the country's highest sports authority. This evening, Armstrong announced he would give up his years-long fight against what he called an unconstitutional witch hunt. One of America's most revered athletes, a cancer survivor and crusader, Armstrong will now be banned from cycling for life and stripped of his Tour de France titles.
Wow, that sucks. As much as you want to look at the bright side, there is no bright side because he still won those titles. And did he not use? It's kind of hard to prove when you're cycling. It's a tough sport. He's not the first one and he won't be the last one. It just kind of raises the questions. Now we have this era. It started as baseball. You started thinking, are we on the steroids PED era? And it was baseball. Obviously, that's been one of the sports that has been hit the hardest by substance use. But now you have cycling. Now you have sprint runners. Now Usain Bolt is being seen. He's being questioned. Did he really run that fast? Let me go back a couple years. Oh, wait, he didn't do that. He had 2 seconds. He was 2 seconds slower. But the guy's not that old. He's been working at it. We don't know yet, but a lot of Jamaicans have been accused of using PEDs.
Well, they've actually been caught.
And been caught.
Right.
So now we put everybody on the same boat. So it raises this question. If you're doing great, if you had an okay season, and then the next season you're blowing up stats, are you using something? Can it just be there better now?
Right. I mean, going back to Armstrong, I mean, yeah, I think the biggest tragedy, of course, is just for cycling. But to me, what he did outside, I think, you know, he helping cancer survivors and all that.
Cancer awareness.
That's, yeah.
Another
that,
level.
You can never take that away from him. What that man did, I mean, I think he'll always be remembered for that. I think, look, how many of us really pay attention to cycling?
Not until it's on the highlights.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, it's not really... I mean, and then the other thing you have to... I mean, another thing I read was there was 40 out of 70 of the top 10 finishers when he won those Tour de France were all busted for
substance. So who wins the title?
Right, exactly. So
it was vacant?
I mean, it's just really sad what's going on right now. I mean, with all the, you're either going to be, you know, involved in some kind of drug scandal, or you're going to be, you know, they're going to say like Jeter, you know, you're cheating or something, you know, you're going to question why you're doing so great. So, you know, that's the bad thing about sports right now that's going on. You know, we can't just sit there and be like, you know what this guy just did was great. You know, we have to be like, whoa, could that guy be juicing? You know, so that's the bad thing about
it. It's raising questions. It's always going to be that way. There's nothing we could do about it. We're going to have to find a way to get over this. I believe soccer, the exceptions usually is drugs. I don't think if people don't take performance enhancers. Usually what they take in that sport is drugs.
Right.
You got caught partying, you got it with marijuana or cocaine, no name, hand of God, you know what?
Right.
Yeah, there's a, it wasn't proven, but you know, right, it's one of those things that goes around, and when you have a substance abuse, you're going to be punished harshly. Before we go into a break, do you want to send a shout out to somebody? I know we have a few friends out there listening, and I have one of my biggest fans, my mother, so I want to say hi, Mom, love you. I know she's listening. She doesn't speak great English. She understands, you know.
Right.
She's from El Salvador. Uh-huh. But my mom, she listens, and she's like, yeah, I like your voice. You sound good. And then you talked about Michael Jordan, and I'm like, oh.
Right.
She's understanding. So it's a great thing to know that we have, you know, family, friends listening, and hopefully we keep growing. Right. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back, and then we're going to keep this going, moving on to NFL when we come back. www.skidrowstudios.com. The number to call is 1-800-893-9562. Once again, the number is 1-800-893-9562. Welcome back. I think I pressed the wrong button, but we're back on. Victor, NFL action.
Oh, man. We're getting to the nitty-gritty now, man. Week 3 in the preseason now. So we're finishing up now. You know, we were able to see, you know, kind of like a dress rehearsal, as they call it, you know, right before the season starts, where all the teams get to play about, you know, about two quarters of play there, so that they can see how their team is going to look for the first game of the season. So it's been good.
You're listening to www.skidrowstudios.com. Victor Corona, Moises Linares, talking NFL. Michael Vick, injury prone or not? Every season, injured. Some type of injury, missing games. Some way, somehow. I think he's only had one season one complete season?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great player, but is this going to be the trend every season with this guy?
Well, the thing is with him is he's the key to their season. I mean, they're either going to be 7-9 or they're going to be a Super Bowl
player. We saw that last season when he picked it up in the second half of the season. He was a different guy. He turned it up. He led the team, and he almost made it far, but was cut short. We got to see him. We got to wait on Michael Vick. I wish him the best. He's been improving since his return to the NFL.
Right.
He's proven that he's determined to show the world that he is a great quarterback, and he's up there. He's fighting for a spot in the elite section.
Yeah, he should be okay. I have no, you know, he's a smart guy. He's built, you know, the biggest thing with him is he needs to stay in the pocket a lot more. He needs to stop getting out of the pocket and running reckless.
We have this list. ESPN put a list out of the top 10 quarterbacks. John Clayton, if you follow NFL, you know that he knows his stuff. And he has Aaron Rodgers from the Green Bay Packers as the number one quarterback. You agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the guy has been putting up the numbers now for a couple of years now. So he's the next guy. You know, I mean, Brady, I still have respect for Brady, for, you know, the Mannings. The top guys, you know, but Aaron Rodgers he's put in the work now, and so he deserves to be the main guy right now.
Tom Brady, number two.
Right.
Drew Brees, number three.
Right. He just broke the record last year, and he's going into the season where he's probably going to be the player coach this year, you know, with the coach being out for the year.
Manning style offense, kind of like Manning.
Right.
Taking control of the offense, calling
right.
shots. I don't know. I really like Drew Brees. I think he should be one or two.
Right.
In my opinion.
I mean, either what you can't go wrong with those three. I think I think where we're gonna have to disagree is number four, right?
That's like a yeah. I think there's a difference. You gold, silver, bronze. What would you rather have? I would rather have gold or silver.
Right.
But they are. It's only a preliminary list.
Right. I mean, I think you can go 1A, 1B, 1C, you know?
I agree with that. Yeah. That would make sense.
Right.
Ben, Big Ben, number four, Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm sorry. That's where I...
Yes or no?
You know, no.
Higher or lower?
Lower. I mean, the guy is always getting hurt, too. I know it's not his fault because he has a bad offensive line, too. I mean, he's won two Super Bowls, but the last 2 years, he hasn't... I mean, yeah, the offense has been more tailored towards him to pass the ball. But I'd rather have the other Manning right now. I'd rather have up there.
Really?
I'd rather have
that much already.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's won two Super Bowls as well. You got, Philip Rivers, too.
We have Ben four. We agree. 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Yeah.
Any order. Those three will move around.
Right.
5 and 6. Eli Manning, Peyton Manning. Eli 5. Peyton 6.
Yeah, see, that's where I would move those guys up.
Do you think Peyton's already up there again?
I have to see what. But I mean, he already in the first quarter today against the Broncos. I mean, he showed me something. So I mean, against the Niners. Sorry,
like riding a bike.
Right. So I mean, he deserves that respect. You know, he's won four MVP. So I'm not gonna just be like, hey, you know what? Out of the top 10. So he deserves to be in the top 10.
7 and 8. Philip Rivers from the Chargers. Tony Romo from the Cowboys.
See, I think Romo is going to be one where people are like, okay, the guy hasn't won anything. So, you know, he's a fantasy player. Yeah, you know what? But I don't know how you can keep him out of the top 10. I think you probably put him at 10, I think.
Really?
Just... Yeah,
I think he has to win a big game in order to break in, though.
I think a lot of it just depends on your criteria, too. I mean, a lot of these guys have won Super Bowls. I think the top three have won Super Bowls.
Let's check.
I think that's the reason why those guys are being put up there.
Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl. Tom Brady, Super Bowl. Drew Brees, Super Bowl.
Right.
Ben Roethlisberger, Super Bowl.
Right.
Eli Manning, Super Bowl.
Right.
Peyton Manning, Super Bowl.
Right.
Phillip Rivers?
No.
No Super
see,
Bowl.
Yeah, see.
Tony Romo?
No Super Bowl. Yeah.
9 and 10. Michael Vick.
Yeah. No.
Michael Vick, 9. Matt Ryan, Falcons.
I think the biggest thing with Matt Ryan, though, he's good in the regular season. He needs to get past those demons in the playoffs.
I think he's good in the dome.
Right. Yeah.
Take him outside and he struggles too much.
Right. He's been great in the dome, in the Georgia dome, but he's struggle outside of it.
The last four, the last four have no rings, no titles.
Right.
Great quarterbacks, but, you know, you could argue for other quarterbacks out there.
And I think
quarterback, Carson Palmer.
Right.
Oh, man, Carson, he's really unstable. On and off performances.
Yeah, you know, like I've been telling some people, I've been getting, you know, tweeted at and stuff like that about Carson Palmer struggling this year in the preseason. It's just preseason. He's in a new offense and everything. So, you know, he'll be fine. I think, you know, the thing to look for too is all these new quarterbacks though. We're on a record pace now. We're going to have five rookie quarterbacks this year.
RG3 starting.
Right.
These guys have the quality and talent to make an impact from the moment they get on the field their first game, man. You know, it tells you how the game is evolving so much. These guys are coming in already to take on veteran teams.
Right. And beating out veterans.
It's big weight.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at five. I think the most is the merger, you know, the AFL and NFL has been two that have started. Now you're going to go with five. That, you know, and then you have the young guys last year with Dalton and Cam Newton. So, I mean, the league looks like it's going to be heading in the right direction now with all these young quarterbacks. You know, some of these guys might creep into that top 10 pretty soon, you know. Give them some time and they'll get into that top 10.
Victor, we have a caller. Let's see. Caller, you're on the air. Who's calling? You're in the sports booth.
It is Mario Dominguez.
What's going on, Mario Dominguez? How could I help you? What do you want to talk about today?
Well, I just heard you guys talk about, you know, quarterbacks and the NFL and how they're rated.
What do you think about that?
Well, I just think, you know, some of them, I know you guys have, Beatty, Rodgers, and Reeves, and the top three quarterbacks.
We have Rodgers 1, we have Brady 2, we have Breeze 3. You agree or disagree?
I will have to agree with those three.
Is there somebody on the list you don't see in the top 10? Roethlisberger, we have Big Ben at 4, Eli Manning at 5, Peyton at 6, Rivers at 7, Tony Romo at 8, Vic at 9, and Matt Ryan at 10.
Wow.
Who's your main guy? Who's your quarterback?
Well, I'm a Cowboys fan, so I would have to go with Tony Romo.
You're with Romo. Victor here thinks that Romo is not. He's a little bit shaky, questionable to be in the top 10.
Don't believe so. If you look at his numbers from last year, he threw over 4,000 yards, 29 touchdowns. I know they didn't make the playoffs, but if you look at his numbers as a quarterback,
right,
you'll see that he's one of the top quarterbacks. Actually, in fantasy, he probably was ranked number 4 in fantasy last year. So.
I agree. Like I said, he's a fantasy quarterback. I mean, but can he, for you
Victor,
as a Cowboy
Victor,
fan.
Are you saying that he's only good at fantasy?
Yes.
But in the real,
because I had him on my fantasy team.
In a real life situation.
Right.
Well, but I mean, look at his numbers. That's, you know, look at his numbers, 4,000 yards, and he actually, his quarterback rating was a 105, I believe. Or
right.
I'm going to have to agree with Mario on this one.
Yeah, but, okay, so as a Cowboy fan, tell me, Mario, do you believe that he'll bring you a Super Bowl?
I think so.
He's the best chance we have. Yes, he's the best quarterback.
I agree. He is the best chance, and I think if the Cowboys are going to have any chance at all, it's going to go through Tony Romo no matter what. Not the wide receivers.
Yeah.
He has to be the leader of that team. He has to lead them to the promised land.
Right.
And he's been one play away several times. His time. He's timed up. You know, everybody has to have their day. And I think Tony Romo might have a great season this year.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though. We need to see it in the playoffs. I think in order for us to put him in the top 10, he needs to win some playoff games. And I think Cowboy fans will agree with that. If this is his year, I think it's that time of year now for him to step up and be that quarterback that they've been waiting for from him.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Thank you, caller, for that That's a great call.
Yeah.
I got to give the guy credit. That's what right. I like to hear. If you're going to call, bring some numbers to the table.
Exactly. I mean,
you want to bring your stats?
You want to go to war,
you better bring your guns.
Right. I'm not going to tell you that I'm right all the time.
Hey,
but
you don't go to war without a gun. I'll tell you that much.
Right. Exactly.
You can't go to war without us without a gun. I would agree with Mario. I think this Tony Romo's going to have a great season. He's due.
Oh, he is.
And I mean, when you look at his story, he's one of those guys. Nobody knew who Tony Romo was.
Of course not.
Nobody believed in that guy. When they signed him, they were like, what the? You know?
Yeah, like I talked about a couple of weeks ago, too. I mean, for all the grief that he gets, I mean, between Troy Aikman and him, look up all the quarterbacks they've gone through. I mean, some of those names are just horrific.
We talked about it. Since Troy Aikman, it's been a struggle for the Cowboys. Yeah. And I don't blame everything on him.
I honestly don't. I mean, the fact that he's not...
I blame it on Jerry Jones.
Exactly. That's who I go back to. I mean, you know, and he needs... At some point, if they don't win this year, he needs to give up that... He needs to be a GM. Let a GM run that team because... You know, he makes great.
Al Davis the second.
Right, exactly.
Al Davis the second.
Right.
Until he dies.
And he's
until he dies.
Yeah. So yeah. I honestly, you know, I'm looking forward to this season. And you know, we're gonna get a lot of answers pretty soon.
Hey, what do you think about this? So you're not a starter, but you get starting quality treatment.
Right.
Tim Tebow.
Well, yeah.
Backup player. He's not going to play the last preseason game because Rex Ryan is going to give him the day off, just like the starters. Is that right? Is that wrong? What do you think about that?
At this point, man, that guy can do whatever he wants, honestly. I mean, come on.
It's a circus out there.
Right.
It's a circus.
Not just that. I mean, the things he's able to get away with is like, I mean... Not the things he's able to get away with. So, you know, I shouldn't say it that way. But all the things that he does, you know, and I'm not going to criticize the guy, like I said before. The only thing I can criticize him for is his throwing. And the guy wins games, so that's all, you know. But, you know, at this point, Rex Ryan, you know, as long as you don't guarantee no more Super Bowls for the Jets, I'm okay with you, Ben, you know, sitting down Tebow.
You know what? Tim Tebow does not ask for that attention. People give it to him.
Right.
He handles the attention as a true professional.
Right.
You've never heard him say anything negative.
Right.
And I got to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
It's not his fault that the media's after him. They're wondering what he's going to do. Where is he going? Did he run without his shirt? Oh, my God. Look at Tim Tebow. No shirt. Taking sprints. Jogging on the field. Who cares? I don't care about that. I care about seeing him play.
Right.
I think most people think that. I don't care what he does outside of the field. I care about his performance. I care about his minutes in the field and how he produces for the team. Let's move on from that.
All right.
Terrell Owens cut.
Yeah.
Are we going to see this guy play ever again or not?
No, I think this was his last chance. I think this is it. I mean, to not even make it to the last preseason game, that just tells you everything. I mean, you know, they needed help at the wide receiver. And for them not to even give him, you know, for him not to even last to the fourth preseason game, it tells you a lot. And, man.
You have another caller.
All right.
Let's put him through.
Oh, man.
Caller, you're on the air. Who's calling? You're in the sports booth.
This is Ruben Arias giving you a call.
Oh, Ruben. Nice. We got Ruben back.
You've been missing, my friend. And he called in right at NFL time. Great timing, man.
Oh, thank you. Good to be with you.
How's it going? How's everything?
Pretty good. We're just, we're getting ready for the NFL season. You know, almost ready for regular season coming up pretty soon.
What do you think about Terrell Owens? You just jump in on that right now. Terrell Owens cut. Done? Is it over?
I heard that, yeah. I think he's over. You know, I think he's ran out of chances, and he's lost his skills. His skills have diminished. I think it's time to hang up the cleats, time to go.
Now, is Terrell Owens playing because he loves the game that much or because he needs money?
I think maybe it's a little bit of both. He doesn't need the money, but, you know, his skills have eroded.
Yeah, I think that's
what happened.
Hey, Ruben, I've been wanting to ask you. We haven't talked in a couple of weeks. This whole referee thing, are we going to get any answers? Are we going to, or are we just going to go into the season with replacements?
I think they're going in a replacement for the first part of the season, maybe the first two or three weeks. They're nowhere on this deal. You know, Goodell says, he wants to get it done or he doesn't, but, you know, the Rams kind of took a shot this week at him. You know, they're not budging. You know, they got to get it done.
One of the issues was the fact that the NFL wants these guys to quit whatever they're doing.
Right.
They want them to commit to the league, but they don't want to pay the kind of money because some of these guys are making great money.
Right, and they're part-time. See, the thing is that unlike some of the other sports, these guys are actually part-time employees. So, you know, they got it. Like, I think some of the guys are like principals and teachers and school bus drivers. So that's what they want to do. Reuben, just getting back the whole thing with the Revs, are we going to see some games? I mean, is this going to cause some teams playoff opportunity here?
I think it might. If somebody aren't sharp on their calls and they're kind of nervous, so they're not getting them right. And, you know, maybe one play they missed that could be at the replay, say a critical fumble or a touchdown that maybe was dropped and they don't see it or they don't replay it, they can't see it well. That could cost some teams in their playoff hunts and their playoff chances. It could be some implications right there.
Right. I mean, and look, the thing is that we want the best out there. And for us not to get the best quality as fans, people who pay all this money for fantasy sports, for TV deals and all that, it's, you know what? They really need to get this done, right, Reuben?
I agree, y'all. They need to get this thing done because, you know, the teams don't know how to prepare. You know, they're probably playing it off, doing their best, but, you know, you could see them, you could see some highlights, and they're just not getting the calls right at all. I mean, what's going on here? Like I said before on the show before, they got trained, they're still training them, but they're not doing a good job. And this is preseason.
Well, let's hope for
the first part of the season, they're going to be done.
For the sake of the season and in order to have a great season from the start to the end that this gets resolved as soon as possible, you're listening to www.skidrowstudios.com. Victor Corona, Moises Linares, along with Ruben Arias calling in today. Let's move on and talk a little bit about the NBA. Mark Cuban said he's not going to retire Jason Kidd's number. Guys, your opinion?
I'll let Reuben take that.
Reuben, fill us in.
On Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd.
Getting his number retired, according to Mark Cuban.
I think he got to retire it. I think when he's retired, when Jason Kidd's paying up his shoes, he got to retire it. You know, he helped them, you know, get to the one that title last season, 6 seasons ago. He's got to retire his number out of respect.
Did they win the title without Jason Kidd last season? Not last season, 2 seasons ago.
They wouldn't.
I don't think they wouldn't. Do you think they would have won the title either way? I think Jason Kidd had a lot to do with that.
I agree. He helped him in those NBA finals. He had some crucial three-pointers, you know, played some crucial defense, and he chipped in. He played like a veteran. When they needed him, he helped Dirk, and he got to do that out of time respect. He has to do it.
Yeah, I think...
Shove him aside. You
got to
do it.
Right. I think you have to do kind of like what the Lakers kind of do is you have to take care of your own. I think in that situation, especially if he makes it, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. How can you not? I mean, is he really going to get retired by the New Jersey Nets? I mean,
New York Knicks.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You have to take, I think Mark Cuban's just a little mad right now. It'll pass through.
One of the trending topics right now has been LeBron James, Michael Jordan. I don't even know why we're having this conversation, but everybody's talking about it. Let's give our opinion about it. LeBron wins a title and already being compared to Michael Jordan. I've never seen a guy jump so high when he's not a center. I never seen a guy so fast. I never seen a guy so big playing the point guard position. The only player that could play five positions that I ever coached. Okay. Before we even have that comparison, shouldn't he win 6 titles? Shouldn't he really be up there when the title count to even be in the same conversation? Dwayne Wade said, MJ's in the 18th hole, LeBron's in the 4th hole. I think that's a great comparison. That's a great example. That's a great way to put it. What do you think, Reuben?
You can't compare him yet at all. You know, he's more of that Magic Johnson mold, all-around player. He's not even, he's not in that league yet. He only won one title, and you got to go and you got to go do those playoff, more playoff wars. You got to three-peat, you know, like the Bulls did the first part when Jordan, they beat the Lakers. They beat the Portland Trail Blazers in the 92 finals. 93, they beat Sir Charles and the Phoenix Suns. You got to go through those wars and just take over the game.
I don't even want to talk about it.
$300 shoe also. Come on, Jordan shoes didn't go that high. Come on.
Hey, exactly. Yeah. You know what? Hey, you hit it right on the nail, Ruben. We're about to talk about that.
That's where I have a problem.
I
have no problem with the comparisons. That's fine. You know, we're always going to talk about
it. I hate LeBron James.
Yeah, I know.
I'm kidding. You know what? I don't like him. I don't like him, but I respect him as a player. I think he's talented. You got to give him his dues.
Uh-huh.
Great player, but he's being super hyped up when last season or two seasons ago, people were talking about, oh, he's a phony. Oh, he's going to be a bust. Yeah. But, you know, you got to give him credit as a player. Give him the credit that he deserves. He won the title. Yes, one title. But one title is not enough to put you in the conversation for greatest ever.
I think the biggest problem that you have with him is the fact that he's getting all this attention if he's only won one championship,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do have that problem.
And I understand that. I think a lot of people, especially here in L.A., are going to have that problem because a lot of people are Kobe fans, and you know, he's the guy that can come closest to him and at the same time, he's the one that can keep him away from getting that 6-7 championship.
I wouldn't have to worry about talking about LeBron James being the greatest until he wins at least 5 or 6.
Then
he has to be compared to Kobe before he's compared to Michael Jordan. We all know that Michael Jordan's the standard. When you think about greatest, the measuring stick is Michael Jordan.
I'll disagree with you there because for me, it's magic.
Oh, you like magic. But that's
yeah.
Well, you know, we could talk about that next week. Everybody tune in next Sunday.
Right.
We're going to have a conversation about greatest, and we're going to compare Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. Ruben's going to call in.
Definitely.
You know what?
Definitely.
You know, this is my problem. $290. What?
Yeah.
$290 for a pair of sneakers? These shoes are not Gucci. They're not Louis Vuitton. $290? Wasn't LeBron James poor at one time?
Yeah.
What happened to this guy?
Yeah. What do you think about that, Ruben?
You know, I'm not paying. I don't think kids should pay $290 for those shoes. They got to go to school and buy their books and buy a backpack. The younger kids and middle school and high school, and you know, they gotta maybe pay a car payment maybe to help their parents out. You know, you can't sell a shoe for that much. I remember Jordans at 98 one. They were like $140, $150.
Ruben,
you know.
Give me a second. Let's caller, you're on the air. This is in the sports booth. Who's calling? I guess we missed them, or they didn't pass them through the right way.
Hello.
You're in the sports booth. Well, let's keep going.
All right. Sounds good.
He hung up. He got scared. He didn't want to talk to the big boys. We were bringing out the guns, and
they have a fake Ruben Arias. You never know, you know.
Right, exactly. After last time, right?
But it's okay.
I'm the real Ruben Arias. I gotta keep saying that as a little now when I call it.
Hey, before we move on, before we actually end, because we have a few minutes left, this show flies by every time. UFC 151 canceled. John Jones declined to fight Chael Sonnen, and a whole pay per view canceled. Is this guy going to be hated, not only by fans, because I know he lost a lot of fans because of that.
What do
you make of that? Cowardish?
You know what? I don't blame him. I mean, it's not his fault that Dan Henderson got hurt. It's not his fault.
Well, you know, Dan Henderson got hurt, but a lot of these guys in the UFC, are willing to step up and fight or take a fight because they know how much is up. When you have a pay-per-view, it's not only your fight. You have other fighters fighting the undercards that are going to get a paycheck, that are probably not going to get enough of a big paycheck, but it's money for them to survive, for them to keep training, because this is their life, you know? And for somebody to tell you, you know what? I was going to give you a job, but this guy doesn't want to work, so you're not going to have a job either.
Yeah, and then the other thing was, too, that I heard from Dana White, too, was the fact that some of the fighters, look, you have 2 weeks to get ready for another guy. I just don't think that's...
Anderson Silva, one of the greatest fighters in the UFC.
But he said he wasn't
going
to fight Jones either.
But he was willing to step up. Obviously, John Jones is a great fighter, and he doesn't want to risk that title around his waist. with a guy like Sonnen, who will put a smackdown on him, according to what he said.
Right.
He called him out and
I
said.
I mean, and then, too, he's defended the title, like, what, four times already this year?
One of the most paid athletes, Sonnen, in the UFC, if not the most paid, he was willing to give him his paycheck, if that's what it took. And, no, Jones didn't want to risk
it. Right.
And, you know, it's a fight that's going to happen soon enough. You know, if you look around.
I think they reschedule, right, for September 22nd or something like
Toronto,
that?
Toronto, I believe.
Right.
And let's see what happens, because it's the first time this has ever
happened.
It's been canceled. And not only is just not a, it's not a, you know, a fight schedule is canceled. It's a whole pay-per-view, and that brings so much money.
Right. And I think another guy that has to be blamed here is Dana White. I think he should have had a plan B. You always have a plan B. He should have had
another.
They're
going to learn from this experience.
Yeah, I think so. As much as he wants to be mad at Jones, he needs to take a look at himself. And
what this does is the fact that it gives boxing a little bit more credit.
Right.
Wow. When have you seen a boxing match cancel a whole pay-per-view because one guy got hurt? No, they bring a replacement. It might not be the guy you want to see, but obviously they bring a guy to replace a fighter.
Well, and talking about that, I mean, look at Pacquiao just moved this fight.
December 1st.
Right.
Well, with the fact that he's a politician, Ruben, I know you've seen that. We've talked about it in the past. Manny Pacquiao has two lives, a boxer and a politician. It makes it really difficult to keep training camp ongoing when he has to go back to the Philippines and he has to come back to the United States and train with Freddie Roach in Hollywood, California. But before we say goodbye, let's just talk a little bit about soccer. We have about a minute left, and people, don't get me wrong, I'm a great soccer fan. There's so much going on in the world of sports. MLS, it's ongoing. The Galaxy making a comeback 2-0 over Dallas, and after being in that eighth spot, they have moved up to their fourth spot, trying to fight for that second or third spot in order to get some kind of home court advantage in the playoffs. They are the defending champions, and it's looking pretty solid for the Galaxy. We have to wait a few weeks and see how they finish the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for the defending champions to do something again. I mean, you don't want to be out of the playoffs and, you know, not be able to defend your title.
A guy who might leave, you know, the MLS, because he doesn't have much soccer left, is Thierry Henry, that New York Red Bulls is in first place. Do you think they could do it, Ruben?
They might be able to. You know, I mean, he's playing. He could just go out with a swan song and just give it his whole effort.
Yeah.
Forget it.
That's the best way to finish a career, with a championship in another country. And these are players that have helped the league grow in so many ways. But it's an ongoing process. We have to wait and we have to see what the outcome is at the end. The European leagues have taken off. Chelsea in the Premier League, 9 points. Great start for Chelsea. Great start for Fernando Torres, who had a terrible last season until he went to the Euro Cup. Came back and is finding the back of the net once again. Spanish League, we know that Barcelona doing great was to get Lionel Messi, proving that he is the best. Guys, we're out of time. Next week, you're in the Sports Booth. Moises Linares, Victor Corona, Ruben Arias. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
Later.